Amanda Dixon is the longtime host of Utah's Morning News. You can hear more of her each weekday morning between 5 and 9 here on KSL News Radio.
To KSL News Radio and A Woman's View every Sunday here on KSL. And my guest this week, Robin Scribner, is here, co-founder and director of outreach for Tech Moms. And Dr. Tamara Sheffield is with me, medical director for immunization programs at Intermountain Health. We're talking about AI and algorithms, and now I want to ask you about privacy, because this is sort of connected. Well, it is connected. And here's my question, which I thought was put so interestingly in this article I've read this week. I think it was the Associated Press. Here was the question they put. Should privacy be a right, a consumer right, an individual right? We talk a lot about the right to privacy, but of course, that's nowhere in the U.S. Constitution. That language is nowhere in the Constitution. We've sort of inferred a right to privacy from some of the other rights in the Constitution, like the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures in the Fourth Amendment. So we read some of that in, but we feel this right. And I think as consumers, we could make a strong case for imposing right to privacy into the consumer space, which has to do with algorithms. Certainly the EU in Europe does this better, I think, than we do it. So, Robin, let me start with you. Do you see a right to privacy being something that we could enforce more? Because certainly we're not enforcing it now.
Oh, well, whether or not we should have it and whether or not we can enforce it, I think are two different questions, right? I absolutely think that we should have a right to privacy. I think it's a fundamental right. And when you talked about it not being in the Constitution, who could have even conceived that we would need it? Most people's entire lives were only exposed to the people who lived within 15 miles of them, right? That the way that they would think of privacy would be absolutely fundamentally different from the way we think of it today. But I do think it needs to be a fundamental right. I think that that our right to our own information and how we use it does need to be ours. Now, with that said, we all give up our privacy every single day, every time we download a new app and we click on the thing without ever reading it. I mean, we're doing this all the time. And I think it's interesting to watch what's happening in Europe and the way they are working to enforce laws. A lot of the privacy rights that we do have today, like with Apple now, they say, you know, when you're downloading an app on your phone and they go, do you want this app to be able to track all your movements? And I'm like, no, I don't, right? We never would have had that had it not been for the laws in Europe that mandated it there. So, I mean, it will be interesting to see. I don't know how to enforce it. Of course, you can be. You can be a person that lives offline. You can live in the woods. You can do a lot of things to keep your life private. It's not practical for most of us. So I believe that we should have it. I don't know how to enforce it. So I'm not very helpful in sharing my opinion on
You are helpful topic. Because I think all that perspective is helpful. How do you see it, Dr. Sheffield?
Well, I'm like Robin, I am highly protective of privacy, but also, like she said, I'm a late adopter of technology. And so I do look to see how technology has been vetted. I was one of the last ones to accept a cell phone at work. I didn't want my private time to be absorbed by work. I now work 24/7, where I used to be able to say when I stopped working, no one could contact me. I was done. And so there's definitely, we've let that slip. For years, I had a computer that was never hooked to the internet. It only resided in my home. It was my way of keeping all my records and things, but no one would have ever access to it because there was no link to the outside world from it. That's gone away, but there's still the things where they, you know, people say, do you want me to save your passwords? Like, no, I never want you to save any passwords for me. I do still have a computer now that is not where my documents are not linked to the cloud, where I've said I have a certain subset here that there is no link elsewhere outside of my computer. I keep them non-cloud. I know it's not a safe way to keep a document because you'll have to back it up somehow. No one's backing it up for you, but in them not backing it up for you, they're also not having access to it for you. So there are ways that you can personally privatize certain things, but most of the time I feel that I've lost privacy just by being linked to the cloud, to others, and to all the other apps that I use that share information back and forth. And that's the world we're in. And I just, every time I hear about, you know, the cyber attacks, which we have a lot in healthcare, I think, oh, I hope my bank is having good protection because I'm not the one protecting it. And I do have to have a lot of trust for those in terms of cybersecurity.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking about this issue and the connected issue of what is the price of free? So Facebook is free. Instagram is free. TikTok is free. And I want to know what the real price is of the time we spend on those apps. So when I was talking to my students up at the U, I would ask that they went through a media diary exercise where they wrote down over a 24-hour period every bit of media that they could consciously think, oh, I've been exposed to this. And it was, you know, somewhere between 3 and 12 hours a day, sometimes 15 hours a day of media exposure. So my question to them was, what could you have accomplished during that time? You would probably be able to graduate from college in a year if you spent that much time on studies. I mean, the people who do great big giant things are able to focus intensely on something that your social media access will deny you for the rest of your life. So what is the price of free? Robin, how do you see that?
Oh, well, I mean, absolutely. And what you're saying about what we pay in terms of our time and our attention and the things that we care about. But even in terms of the privacy, that famous quote that if there is no product, you're the product, right? So for these tools that we're getting for free, we are the product that they are selling to the marketers, to the people who want to sell us things that we will pay our money for. So we're paying a high price for all these things that we're focusing on. And I think, again, I don't know how we avoid this if we're living in our contemporary society and we want to have a phone, we want to have an internet access and all these other things. But I think simply just being aware of it, and even like we did when we were kids and there was a commercial that came on for a really delicious fast food and we're like, oh, I should hop out to that place right now. Just putting a little disruption in our lives and saying, was I really hungry for that? Or did I only want this because I just saw the ad come up? Yeah, doing that same thing with the way that we're spending our time, spending our money, spending our attention right now. And even just cultivating a little bit of awareness in ourselves will help maybe bring that cost and that price down to something that we're willing to pay rather than letting ourselves get carried away in the unawareness of what most of us, the way most of us are spending our lives and our time.
Yeah. I want to get your take on this, Dr. Sheffield, too. Let me take a quick break and we'll be right back. This is A Woman's View on KSL News Radio. My guest, Dr. Tamara Sheffield, the Medical Director for Immunization Programs at Intermountain Health. And Robin Scribner is here, the co-founder and director of outreach for Tech Moms. We'll take a break and be back in a moment.